This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. You need not live. You need not work. You need not have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult anytime. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. Brandon Legal Group, proud supporters of the Todd Wright Tour and also the Todd Wright family of podcast, as is Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers has three locations across the Tampa Bay area to serve you with 38 lanes in East Pasco at 6816 Gale Boulevard, 50 lanes at Midtown, 4847 North Armenia, and 40 lanes at Veterans, which is 5555 West Hillsborough. It is just literally visible as you're driving the Veterans just east of the Veterans, the beginning of the Veterans Expressway, the south end of it. Summer camps, especially for those of you who have children in Hillsborough County Schools, this is the first week they are out of school. If you are still exploring for summer camp options later this month and into July, there are five different weekly camp dates at Pin Chasers, and they're at various locations. June 10th, June 24th, July 8th at Midtown and East Pasco. June 17th, July 15th at the Veterans location. So much is included in one price for these summer camps. And while you're obviously going to know your kids are taking advantage of indoor air-conditioned activities, there might be just a little bit to get them out into some fresh air for just a few minutes. Outdoor activities as well. Personalized bowling ball, shirt, water bottle, free arcade playtime included, the end of camp party, snacks and lunch all included for one cost. Ages 5 to 15, register for camp at pinchasers.net or call 813-871-2695. We'll talk about Wentworth Golf Club here in a moment, too. My best to general manager, Jesse Pratt, and Wentworth Golf Club hosted both Todd Wright Tour 15 and Todd Wright Tour 19. Jesse Pratt, it has a paid foursome in the Todd Wright Tour Championship. We are sold out for the Quarry course at Black Diamond on June 22nd. If you'd like to be on the waiting list, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. And yes, the toddwrightgolf@gmail.com is the best email for me, whether it involves a golf question or not. If you have a memory of the Big Dog and Steve Dumig or a thought on the last Toddcast, my tribute to the Big Dog, Steve Dumig, you can email me toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Feel free to follow me on Facebook. I've been picking up a lot of Twitter followers. That's fine, but I haven't posted a tweet since Steve Dumig returned to the air a couple years back. The Twitter account is still there, but if you actually want to follow me where I post items actively, follow me on Facebook. I don't mind. There's also a Todd Wright Tour page on Facebook, but you can follow me individually, Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or pick me up on Instagram, at ToddWright2019. So best to Jesse Pratt and his family. We'll talk a little bit more about Wentworth Golf Club and their player development membership in a little bit. There's really no way for me to follow up the podcast I did prior to this one. That's why I waited a pretty good 72 hours to even think about doing another one. One footnote from the previous podcast, the tribute to Steve Dumig. After I recorded it and after it was posted, as part of my plan for that day, a friend of the Dumig family texted me at my request the right time to come back to where everyone was, and by then it'd be a much smaller group of primarily family, because I wanted some one-on-one time with Steve's widow and my friend Jennifer. And literally 7 hours after the service began, I stood in front of Jennifer. And my observation of her was, understandably, it had been a long day. It's been such a rough couple weeks, let alone the last 2.5 years, as Jennifer has been by Steve's side. As Jennifer turned and saw me standing there with really nobody else in between us, she just brightened up and smiled the way I've known her and Steve knew her to smile. And it was awesome. It just was awesome. None of us are good at attending things like that. They challenge us in so many emotional and mental ways. I'm not only happy that I went, and I told you in that podcast, here's the list of memorial services I've attended. My best friend for so many years, Derek Sharp's mom, that was roughly 2002, 2003. My memorial service, where I offered the eulogy for my grandmother and my grandfather on April 1st, 2008, and Steve Dumigs. And that's the list. That's it. 3 in 50 years. My conversation with Jennifer was spirited. She smiled. She told me she loved me. I told her I loved her. She asked about my home since she helped me find it, since I now own it outright. We talked about golf. We talked about golf tournaments. I talked about my plan for a tribute at my upcoming golf tournament for the big dog, which I will follow up with her when things settle down a little bit. I'm just so glad that 7 hours later, I went back. I had changed clothes. The podcast was done, and I went back, and I got a good 15 minutes face-to-face with her, and it was just wonderful. So I just wanted to share that with you. And there will be a tribute to the big dog at the Todd Wright Tour Championship, my 20th golf tournament. He helped me get it going. He helped me promote it from the beginning. And all my players should be ready for a tribute to Steve at the June 22nd event. All right, turning the page a little bit, no right way to do it, but let me do it with something Tampa Bay-centric. I love talking national stuff, and I know many of you listen to the Toddcast for the national stuff, and there'll be plenty of it. There has been, there will be. That's why this podcast now exists, because I can do whatever I want. It's not just a fantasy football podcast. It's not just a Lightning podcast. It is whatever I want. So a day or so removed, or earlier this week, the Outback Bowl sent out a press release, and I took notice of something in the press release and followed up with the two men who have worked so hard on that bowl game for so many years. And that's Mike Schultze, who runs communications and PR for the Outback Bowl, and the man who is the chairman, is either COO or CEO of the Outback Bowl, and that's Jim McVay. These two men have never said no to me. I just want to make that perfectly clear. They've never said no to me. And even 1 year, well, they've both gone out of their way to do things for me where they had every right to say no or not even bother doing them. And it's just, my relationship with them is just about as good as any other key sports people in and around the Tampa Bay sports market. So I was offered the opportunity today, and it was one, they wondered if I was going to record it. And I said, no, I just want to talk to you guys, and then I'll put it all into the podcast. But I want to talk about the bowl game, and I want to talk about one thing specifically with where we're going for Outback Bowl 2021 through 2026, which is after this season. Mike was in the room, Jim was in the room, I was on the phone. And they reiterated a number of things, which is to their credit, out at the Outback Bowl. the main thing is there hasn't been a change in name for 26 years. I remember actually being at the press conference where they unveiled the new name and logo for the Outback Bowl in Ybor City. And I reminded them of that today because it came up. The closest others, you know, a lot of these bowl game and sponsors, they change seemingly every 2 to 5 years. And it's hard to even keep up. But this one has been rock solid and continues to be for 25 years and beyond. The closest thing is Chick-fil-A's relationship with the Peach Bowl, but it falls about a decade behind. And for quite a while, Federal Express / FedEx and their continued support at that time of the Orange Bowl, which has since come to an end and Capital One took over. Beyond the millions of dollars paid to the participating schools, to local charities, and even more to charities beyond just the charter of the bowl game itself, the conversation eventually worked its way towards the affiliations, because the Outback Bowl for many, many, many years has been and has promoted itself around Tampa Bay as Big Ten versus SEC. Nothing wrong with that, right? First of all, you have SEC. And in college football, it's SEC and everybody else. Sure, in recent years, there have been teams outside the SEC that have won national championships. Florida State under Jameis Winston. Clemson, two of the last, 3 years under with Dabo Sweeney coaching. Urban Meyer and Ohio State winning the first title of the college football playoff era out of the Big Ten. But clearly, college football is dominated by the SEC in various ways to varying degrees. And the fact that the Outback Bowl continues to maintain such a strong relationship with the Southeastern Conference is to its credit. As we have gone from what it was, Bowl Coalition, Bowl Alliance, right? Then Bowl Alliance without Rose Bowl, Bowl Alliance with Rose Bowl, Bowl Championship Series, to College Football Playoff. The affiliations that are below the bowl games in the rotation of what I just spoke of, they are impacted, because as you grow the top tier, it impacts the quality of the teams for that particular season that bowls outside that group can choose. It's simple math. So in the college football playoff model, there is the New Year's Six. I know it hasn't really caught on, but there are six bowls that rotate every 3 years. They get a semifinal game, either 1 versus 4 or 2 versus 3, with the winner moving on. In no order, it's Rose and Sugar. Then it's what? Cotton and Orange. And this year, as an example, for the second time, it's Peach and Fiesta. So that all in mind, now that there's a New Year's Six, as recently as last year, 4 Southeastern Conference teams were chosen to play in the New Year's Six Bowl. So when the Outback Bowl chooses its SEC team, because more SEC teams are playing in these New Year's Six Bowls than ever before in the BCS, or in the Bowl Alliance, or in the Bowl Coalition, the choice that, or the team that the Outback Bowl gets, it drops down. Where there were years that the Outback Bowl would get the third best team in the SEC, and last year, basically, they got the sixth best. and best might be the wrong word, but for lack of a better term, it allows you to understand that. If four SEC teams go into the New Year's Six, and then the Citrus Bowl gets the next one, then the Outback Bowl gets the next one. So that was impacting the quality of the SEC team, and for that matter, the quality of the Big Ten team that the Outback Bowl would receive. In addition, the fact that it was every year with SEC Big Ten, at some point, while the players change and often the coaches change, there was some repetition with certain schools participating in multiple Outback Bowls where, let's just say, I felt maybe it was time that there was a new wrinkle to the selection of team process, and the Outback Bowl just got that wrinkle. That's why I wanted to talk to Jim McVay and Mike Schultze about it, to understand it. And Jim McVay explained it to me very, very well. So basically, for the last number of years, if you've noticed, some ACC teams, and Notre Dame is considered an ACC team in terms of bowl affiliations. ACC teams and Notre Dame have made appearances in what most of you know as the Citrus Bowl. This year, that wrinkle for that bowl game comes to an end. And the Citrus Bowl was in a very similar position because they were a traditional, every year, Big Ten versus SEC matchup. With that agreement with the Citrus Bowl coming to an end, it now becomes an opportunity for the Outback Bowl to do what the Citrus Bowl did, starting with the 2021 game into and through 2026. And as Jim McVay explained it to me, it cannot happen in years where the Orange Bowl game is part of the college football playoff. So once every 3 years, it's off the board. Cannot happen. For example, the 2022 Outback Bowl will be SEC versus Big Ten. Why? Because the Orange Bowl will have 1-4 or 2-3 for the college football playoff. Same in 2025 for the 2025 game. In the other 4 years, 2021, 2023, 2024, and 2026, if the Orange Bowl chooses a Big Ten team to play in its game, then the Outback Bowl can replace what would otherwise be the choice of a Big Ten team with an ACC team, and that includes Notre Dame. Now, of course, the Outback Bowl has to wait for those choices. It doesn't look like Clemson is going to be outside the New Year's Six anytime soon, just like it sure doesn't look like Nick Saban's Alabama team is going to be outside the New Year's Six anytime soon. So acknowledging that, but the point being that for 4 years, 2021, 2023, 2024, 2026, the Outback Bowl will be able to select an ACC team or Notre Dame to play instead of a Big Ten team if the Orange Bowl chooses a Big Ten team. The SEC will always be represented in the Outback Bowl. That is not changing. And that makes sense for the fan base representing the region of Florida and the country where the Outback Bowl is based. So it allows for a different look to as many as four, probably not all four, Outback Bowls from 2021 to 2026. So just thinking out loud about some of the matchups that the Outback Bowl could put together, they could put together Florida versus Miami. Now, granted, Florida will play Miami to open this coming regular season at Camping World Stadium in a game that's been scheduled for some time. But still, the fact that Florida and Miami do not play every year, the fact that the Outback Bowl can put together a Florida versus Miami game is certainly of interest and a possibility. Let's throw another interesting one out there. A Florida State versus Georgia game. They can put that together based on their new agreement and opportunity to take ACC teams in place of a Big Ten team if the Orange Bowl takes a Big Ten team. And then there's the Notre Dame opportunity. Any bowl game would want Notre Dame. Whether you like Notre Dame or not, Notre Dame is a major draw that clicks all the boxes for any bowl game out there. And the Outback Bowl at some point between 2021 and 2026, I'd say there is a 75% chance that Notre Dame will end up in an Outback Bowl game against an SEC team. And then you could even take it one step further, and you Florida State fans who are blaming all of your troubles on your former coach rather than your current coach, yeah, you know what? The Outback Bowl could put together Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M against Willie Taggart or whoever and Florida State. They could put that matchup together based on this new agreement. There are all sorts of interesting possibilities out there, and I just think this came along at the right time for the Outback Bowl game, and I feel good for Jim McVay and Mike Schultze and all those involved with the Outback Bowl that it will have a different look going forward for a six-year period starting in 2021. Not every year, but in two, maybe three of those years from 2021 to 2026, there will be someone new playing in the game, and the game will feel different. And, you know, these bowl games have to have these affiliations. They have to have it. The reason why they exist is because a number of years ago, bowl games were cutting deals with teams before the regular season even ended. Handshake deals, wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, we're going to take you unless you're playing for the national championship. And it was just chaos. It was a mess. It was like recruiting. So they got rid of all that. And you can't just jumble it every year to mix it up. And some of it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense for the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl or the Orange Bowl to bring in Pac-12 teams, just as it would make very little sense for Western based bowl games to not have affiliations with the Pac-12 or the Big 12 as their primary choice. You have to have some regional appeal in your game. So again, that's as best as I can explain it based on the time that Jim McVay and Mike Schultze took with me earlier today via conference call to talk about the potential and likelihood for a different look to the matchup and feel of the Outback Bowl from 2021 to 2026, not in the years that the Orange Bowl is part of the college football playoff. So 2022, 2025, it will be Big Ten versus SEC as it has always been previously. And I reconfirmed and said already once in this podcast, there will always be an SEC team playing in the Outback Bowl. The ACC team and or Notre Dame replaces a Big Ten team, not an SEC team. Thanks to Mike Schultze and to Jim McVay for their time today in walking me through everything and talking about their bowl game. And I thank them for everything they've always done for me. Jesse Pratt is the general manager of Wentworth Golf Club. He just welcomed a new member to his personal family, not the Wentworth Golf Club family. And without getting into the details, which is none of anybody's business, I just want to wish Jesse and his wife and his family well on their new addition to the family. And I'm flattered that Jesse, as a tournament host of mine, has bought a foursome in a tournament not on his property, as he has a foursome in the Todd Wright Tour Championship coming up on June 22nd. Wentworth Golf Club continues to offer the player development membership. If you are in the area of Wentworth Golf Club in Tarpon Springs and you want to hit a lot of golf balls in a span of 30, 31 days, $49 per month gets you the Wentworth Golf Club player development membership. You can hit as many range balls as you like every day. You can walk the course and play as much as you want after 3 p.m. every day. If you want to take a cart, it's a modest $10 cart fee to go play as many holes as you want after 3 p.m. There are also free golf lessons through clinics on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And there are other perks with this. And it's only $49 per month. You can ask the golf shop for details by calling Wentworth Golf Club at 727-942-4760. 727-942-4760. Thanks to Wentworth Golf Club. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group. Thanks to Pin Chasers. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Your email does not need to be golf related for you to use that email address. That is my best email if you have comments about the podcast. And you are always welcome to ask me a golf question or ask me about playing in any of my tournaments. We will have at least two more Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments later in the year. Todd Wright Tour XXI in late September and Todd Wright Tour XXII tentatively scheduled for early to mid December. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.